From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. This episode is unique because my guest is in studio, so sitting next to me in Wallace Annenberg Hall, Studio B, is the second candidate running for the 4th District City Council seat to be on The Hot Seat, David Rue. Thank you very much for joining me today, Mr. Rue. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much, and this is an amazing studio.
Yes, it is. We are very fortunate to have it, and it's still basically brand new to all of us. So, I would like to remind everybody that I am following my election protocol. Now, I've got lots of questions and not a lot of time, so without further ado, let's get started. Why did you decide to run for city council?
Well, you know, that's simple. You know, I'm running to change the conversation at City Hall, and that starts by first listening to the community.
Okay, and what is your present occupation, and why do you believe you are qualified to be a city council member?
Currently, for the past 6 years, I've been working for the second largest community mental health nonprofit hospital in LA County.
Kedron
Community Mental Health Center, which is actually right across the freeway here.
Okay.
And we have a lot of the social workers from the School of Social Welfare at USC come and intern and come and work at our hospital. And we are the second largest mental health hospital, the largest mental health hospital being our jail system.
And what do you do for them?
I'm Director of Development, Government, and Public Affairs. So for the past 6 years, I've been there working directly with my CEO to help grow the organization. We just opened up a federally qualified healthcare center. So now we provide health, mental health, housing, job services, and homeless preventive services.
Okay. And why do you believe you are qualified to be a city council member?
Well, you know, if you look at my background, I have the experience and the know-how. For the past 6 years, I've been working for the mental health hospital. 6 years before that, I worked for LA County Supervisor Yvonne Burke, mm-hmm. primarily as her social services deputy, working on like foster care issues, mental health issues, homeless issues, budgets and transportations, and before that, local advocacy. I grew up in the neighborhood, pretty much went to all the schools there locally, more than anything, I'm not part of the City Hall crowd.
But how are you qualified to deal with issues that are more than just social work related?
Oh, well, and it's about having the public policy chops. It's about having and knowing how to solve issues. It's about talking with the community. And that's the thing. When I say I'm running to change the conversation at City Hall, in many respects, it's about starting the conversation at City Hall. It's who do council members represent, right? And it's not about representing big business. It's not about representing those who have the deepest pockets, but it's about actually representing you, the voters, the constituents, and listening to them and asking them, what is that you want me to do?
Okay. And what previous experience contributes to the mindset that you are, other than your occupation, than to your job and this decision to run for city council?
What other? Well, you know, it's my upbringing and my experiences growing up. You know, if I could shortly mention it, you know, my mom first immigrated to this country right after I was born.
Okay.
And she came, you know, a typical immigrant story for a better life for her children, but actually a better life for herself, right?
Okay.
She wanted to come to a place that valued equality, fairness, hard work, and more importantly, a place where individuals could choose their own destiny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why growing up, my mother and my grandmother were the two most influential people in my life. And, you know, and the six of us grew up in a 2-bedroom, 700-square-foot apartment, and life was difficult. It's the typical immigrant story. But more than that, I got to attend the best public schools. I mm-hmm. went to John Burroughs Junior High in the heart of Hancock Park. I went to Francisco Bravo Medical Magnet in East LA, and later got to attend UCLA. But I also did a fellowship here at USC.
So all of that contributes to wanting to give back?
Yeah, because I am a proud product of our public school system. I'm a beneficiary of our social services.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can remember when I was 11 years old.
I'm sorry, but we really don't have time for memories. You answered the question perfectly. So you touched on this a little bit, but the 4th Council District is very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
If elected, how will you get to know each portion of the district and what is important to each specific region?
The way I'm doing it now, I've already personally, not my team, myself, not my volunteers, knocked on 3,000 doors throughout the entire district, going door to door and asking them what is their concerns. And on a first glance, when you talk to the constituent and whatnot, and if you look at the map, it's a very disparate district. It looks very wide, and it looks like there's no connection. However, when you go down, drill deep into it, each communities are very strong. And three reoccurring themes have occurred. Concerns with development, concerns with infrastructure, and I mean the whole gamut of infrastructure, and three, concerns of access. So the communities are more united than expected. And that's the way, when I get elected, I'm going to be running up the office and operating the same way I'm running the campaign now, going to the community, going to the voters, and asking them about their concerns.
Okay. And what will you do to satisfy all geographic regions of the district? For instance, if, say, Sherman Oaks wants something, but Toluca Lake or Hancock Park doesn't, mm-hmm. what are you going to do?
Well, you know, that's a very hard question to answer, because without having a concrete example. I mean, it could easily be as, and it's, there is
for a citywide example, just for mm-hmm. a citywide example, say, for instance, Sherman Oaks wants something approved in Sherman Oaks, or wants some traffic or a digestion, an anti-gridlock measure approved for that affects that area, but say it negatively affects Hancock Park. Mm-hmm. What would you do to satisfy both sides, and how would you make your decision on the vote?
Yeah, well, that's an easy one. We bifurcate the issue, right?
Elaborate if you could a little bit.
It's pretty much what works for one area. There is no one-size-fits-all solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens many times, which is why an issue that's key to Sherman Oaks has to be tailor-made for Sherman Oaks. And even within Sherman Oaks, there's numerous communities. So it has to be tailor-made. Some areas want stop signs. Some areas want stoplights. Some areas want different traffic patterns, bus cutouts. So you make it unique. And that's why you go work with the people on the ground. Now, whatever Sherman Oaks wants to do to help resolve the traffic issues might not be the right solution for Hancock Park, like you elaborated on. So you go to Hancock Park and you work with them, and you work and you figure out what issues are key to them and how to alleviate their traffic issues. And if it's completely different, that's where you tackle the issues differently. And through the city council, you split it.
But if you have to vote for a measure that benefits Sherman Oaks but has that brings bad consequences to Hancock Park, how would you determine which way to vote, and how would you vote?
You know, and that's the thing. And I don't think there will be an issue like that.
Okay.
You know, that's where you work through it out. I mean, one issue we could talk about is possibly minimum wage, raising the minimum wage. I mean, that's probably an issue that mm-hmm. probably it's not a geographic focus, but it's probably what a wedge issue between business and non-business. Right. I mean,
okay, you brought it up, so I have to ask now, would you support an increase in minimum
wage?
Yes,
I do.
Okay. And with that, we'll be right back after this short music break, and we'll talk about other citywide issues with significance in the council district. And we're back now with in-studio guest David Rue, candidate for Council District 4. Thanks again for taking the time to come out to USC this morning. So Mayor Garcetti recently announced his Resilience by Design plan that would, in part, mandate the retrofitting of some older buildings. The City Council recently passed this motion, and according to Luis Reyes, Gil Cedillo's press secretary, they expect to have the language of the ordinance in February. However, there are already questions about funding the improvements. Given that there are a lot of older apartment buildings in the Los Feliz area, what are you going to do to make Mayor Garcetti's plan financially viable or feasible for building owners?
You know, first and foremost, I support what the mayor is doing, and this is a public safety issue that must be addressed. From the current proposals that I've seen, obviously they're still vetting it out, there needs to be a mechanism to help the apartment owners. And I believe they're going to allow them for a pass-through of some of the cost and over a certain amount of years, which I fully support. And it's not just about the funding it. It's also about the actual ordinance and the implementation of it. Because a lot of these older buildings that you're talking about,
Yes, but the putting the motion into place is a different issue. I'm specifically mm-hmm. talking about the funding, because that's something mm-hmm. that is of that's the unknown, the main unknown we have at the present mm-hmm. time.
I believe the mayor is proposing for the funding to be a full pass through to the renters. Is that your understanding as well?
Well, my the way I've been told by various members of the city council is that they don't yet have an exact idea on how they're going to do it, mm-hmm. and they won't even have the exact wording of the ordinance until February.
So, and it's about making sure that we have to protect the renters, but we also have to protect the apartment owners as well. And we should pursue federal funding. We should pursue state funding. We should pursue every mechanism to help fund this measure. We should make sure that we, and streamline the budget, find all the inefficiencies, ring the budget, figure out where we could find extra dollars to reduce the impact to both the renters and to the apartment owners.
And have you already done research to find out where this funding is available? Well, or through which organization?
I don't have the full access to the budget or whatnot, but for example, I mean, it's basic things like the residents telling me, once in a while when their street gets repaved, why does DWP come out the very next day and tear it up again to install a very important power meter, a power line, or pipe, which is an important thing to do. Couldn't we have coordinate their services better so that DWP came out the day before, trenched the whole thing, and maybe not filled it, just put cones around it? That would save money, save time, because the very next day they're going to tear up the street again to repave it. So that's a cost-saving mechanism there. So it's about figuring out where – I've worked on budgets before when I worked mm-hmm. in the county. It's about trying to figure out where these inefficiencies are.
Okay. And we're staying a little off topic, and I do have a follow-up to that. And what are you going to do to make sure the renters do not have to pay a disproportionate amount of the cost?
Again, funding is key, right? We're going to try to find inefficiencies in government to see how we can fund it. We need to work with the state, the feds, everyone else to help fund this important measure, initiative. So we have to make sure that it's helps out both sides. And sitting down with the renters groups, hearing out their concerns, making sure if there are any increases, that it's done in a responsible manner or in a phasing in manner.
Okay. And moving on now to other important issues. Two related issues of citywide importance are street services and sidewalks. They are very important to the valley as well. Some areas do not have any of the latter. If elected, what are you going to do to improve streets?
Well, it's what we talked about. It's about having a better triage system. Mm-hmm. I gave you that example about the streets. Others, for example, have talked about the tree branch overhanging their house, and they keep on calling the city. Finally, takes them 9 months for the city to come out. They come out and take a look at it and said, "You are absolutely correct, Max. That tree is going to fall on your house. When it does, give us a call. We'll pay for it." That's not what the homeowner wants to hear. Yes, we're holding the homeowner harmless, but at the same time, it's our tax dollars. Isn't it cheaper to just trim that tree? We need to figure out a better triage system and see what's going on and why we can't do that. So it's about working with the community. It's about...
And on the DWP and tree issue, though, I've brought this up to the DWP several times, and their answer is that they don't have enough money to accelerate their replacement schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do about that?
And we got to figure out why. I mean, look... I had a community a group of neighbors that wanted to install speed bumps. They followed the city protocol. They signed a petition. 99% of the neighbors signed it. They took it back to the city. And the city said, "Oh my God, thank you so much for doing this, but we're sorry. We don't have any money. We can't do it." The constituent was dismayed, went back to his neighborhood, gave him the news, and says, "Oh, the city can't afford to do it right now." And that community was relatively wealthy and said, "You know what? We'll pay for it."
So is that your suggestion?
No. Then he went back, right? And he said, "Guess what? We'll pay for it." You know what the city told him? "Oh, you know what? Even though you pay for it, I'm sorry. We don't have enough employees to put it in." That makes no sense. That makes absolute no sense. So we have to figure out how. I mean, if...
Have you figured that out yet? Or
no.
Have you thought about it? Have you thought of a plan to figure it out?
No, it's about... Because you don't think of it in a vacuum. You got to sit down with the players who are actually... And it's about sitting down with that department and saying, what is it that you need? What resources did you need? What can we change around? What can we do so that when a constituent comes this way and they're even willing to pay for it, you don't have enough employees, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need more employees? What is it that you're... and that maybe we, collapsing departments, maybe having an entire reform of the building and safety department. We don't know. I mean, there's a lot of emerging and changing going on, and I want to fully support the mayor's efforts on doing all of that.
Thank you for that, and thank you very much for joining me in studio for The Hot Seat today, Mr. Rue. It was a pleasure. The Hot Seat After Hour starts right now. You can email The Hot Seat inbox at thehotseatwithmaxschwartz@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at MaxSchwartzTV. You can subscribe to The Hot Seat's newsletter by clicking on the link on our page. Go to annenbergradio.org/podcast and click on the link underneath The Hot Seat description and enter your email address. Thank you for listening. I hope you will join me next time when my guest will be Council District candidate Joan Pellico.